Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman member by Ram Golder, and today Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Off, the 11th Perek Chelak. The Zichu Masechta Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Amin once told Gvia Ben Pesisa, Vailochon Chayavaya, woe to you sinners who said the dead will live. If the living die, can the dead come back to life? He replied, woe to you sinners who say the dead will not live. If those who never existed come to life, then those who already existed should certainly come to life. Africans once came before Alexander and claimed Eretz Yisrael was rightfully theirs as descendants of Canaan, since it's called Eretz Canaan. Gvir received permission from the sages to respond and answered that the same Torah declares Canaan a slave to his brothers and all a slave's property belongs to his master. Furthermore, they owe compensation for many years of misservitude. They requested time to respond and fled, abandoning fully grown fields in a year of Shemitah. In another incident, Egyptians came to Alexander demanding the Jews return the gold and the silver they borrowed when leaving Mitzrayim. Gvir responded that they owe the Jews wages for 600,000 men for 430 years of labor in Mitzrayim, and they too fled, abandoning fully grown fields in a year of Shemitah. Pointing to the Gemara records several questions that Antoninus asked Rebbe, among them, Neshama me'emasai nitna ba'adam, when is a soul placed into a man? Mishas bekida, from the time of conception, or mishas yitzira, or from the time of the embryo formation? Rebbe answered mishas yitzira, but Antoninus argued that the human seed would surely spoil if it did not have a neshama. Rebbe later declared that Antoninus taught him that one receives a neshama from mishas bekida, and Rebbe found support from a pasuk. Antoninus asked Rebbe, Me'emasai Yetzahara Sholot Ba'adam, when does the Yetzahara begin to exert control over a person? Mishas Yetzira or Mishas Yetzia, from the time of the embryo's formation or from the time of birth? Rebbe answered, Mishas Yetzira, but Antoninus objected that if so, Bo'ot B'me'imo B'yotze, the fetus would kick against its mother's womb and leave prematurely. Rebbe later declared that Antoninus taught him that the Yetzahara is Sholot on a person from birth and found support in the pasuk, Pesach chatas roveitz, sin crouches at the door. And point number three, Reish Lakish quoted one pasuk implying that crippled people will come back to life with their deficiencies, while another pasuk says the lame will leap and the mute will sing. He explained that people will rise with their defects and then be healed. Ula quoted Bila Hamavis Lenetzach, he will conceal death forever, indicating no one will die. Yet another pasuk implies that although people will live long, they will die. He answers that death will still exist for idolaters who will exist then to tend to Klal Yisrael's physical needs. Rav Chisda quoted a pasuk which says, the sun and moon will be ashamed because of the brilliant light of tzaddikim, while another pasuk says, the light of the moon and sun will be many times greater than they are today. He answers that during Yemos HaMashiach, their light will be greater, whereas in Olam Haba, their light will be shamed. According to Shmuel, it said, Ein bein olam hazeh liyomos haMashiach, el shibud goyos bilvad, there's no difference between this world and the days of Mashiach, except for the subjugation of Jews in exile, but the natural order will remain. The Gemara answers that the luminaries will grow stronger in the camp of tzaddikim, but in the machaneh Shechina, their light will be shamed. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Amin once told Gvia ben Pesisa, Vailochon Chayavaya, woe to you sinners who said the dead will live. If the living die, can the dead come back to life? He replied, woe to you sinners who say the dead will not live. If those who never existed come to life, then those who already existed should certainly come to life. Africans once came before Alexander and claimed Eretz Yisrael was rightfully theirs as descendants of Canaan, since it's called Eretz Canaan. Gvir received permission from the sages to respond and answered that the same Torah declares Canaan a slave to his brothers and all a slave's property belongs to his master. Furthermore, they owe compensation for many years of misservitude. They requested time to respond and fled, abandoning fully grown fields in a year of Shemitah. In another incident, Egyptians came to Alexander demanding the Jews return the gold and the silver they borrowed when leaving Mitzrayim. Gvir responded that they owe the Jews wages for 600,000 men for 430 years of labor in Mitzrayim, and they too fled, abandoning fully grown fields in a year of Shemitah. Pointing to the Gemara records several questions that Antoninus asked Rebbe, among them, Neshama me'emasai nitna ba'adam, when is a soul placed into a man? Mishas bekida, from the time of conception, or mishas yitzira, or from the time of the embryo formation? Rebbe answered mishas yitzira, but Antoninus argued that the human seed would surely spoil if it did not have a neshama. Rebbe later declared that Antoninus taught him that one receives a neshama from mishas bekida, and Rebbe found support from a pasuk. Antoninus asked Rebbe, Me'emasai Yetzahara Sholot Ba'adam, when does the Yetzahara begin to exert control over a person? Mishas Yetzira or Mishas Yetzia, from the time of the embryo's formation or from the time of birth? Rebbe answered, Mishas Yetzira. But Antoninus objected that if so, Bo'ot b'me'imo v'yotze, the fetus would kick against its mother's womb and leave prematurely. Rebbe later declared that Antoninus taught him that the Yetzirah is shoet on a person from birth, and found support in the pasuk, L'pesach chatas roveitz, sin crouches at the door. And pointing with Reish Lakish quoted one pasuk implying that crippled people will come back to life with their deficiencies, while another pasuk says the lame will leap and the mute will sing. He explained that people will rise with their defects and then be healed. Ula quoted Bila Hamavitz Lenetzach, he will conceal death forever, indicating no one will die. Yet another pasuk implies that although people will live long, they will die. He answers that death will still exist for idolaters who will exist then to tend to Klal Yisrael's physical needs. Rav Chisda quoted a pasuk which says, the sun and moon will be ashamed because of the brilliant light of tzaddikim, while another pasuk says, the light of the moon and sun will be many times greater than they are today. He answers that during Yemos HaMashiach, their light will be greater, whereas in Olam Haba, their light will be shamed. According to Shmuel, it said, "Ein bein olam hazeh liyomos haMashiach el shibud goyos b'levad." There's no difference between this world and the days of Mashiach, except for the subjugation of Jews in exile, but the natural order will remain. The Gemara answers that the luminaries will grow stronger in the camp of tzaddikim, but in the machane shechina, their light will be shamed. All right, so now we are siman dav tzadi off, and our standard siman is an exit sign, a yitziyah, an exit sign. So here goes. The Mitzrim who ran out of the exit from the great hunchback rabbi's house, not wanting to pay their debt to the Jews from all their years of slavery, passed a newborn boy at the door whose yetzirah just began to exert control over him, and were followed by people leaping and singing for joy who came back to life and were healed. Once again, slow motion. The Mitzrim who ran out of the exit, that must mean we're on dav tzadi off. Exit sign, Yitziyah. The Mitzrim who ran out the exit from the great hunchback's rabbi's house, not wanting to pay their debts to the Jews from all their years of slavery, which reminds us, the Gemara brings that Gavias ben Pasis's debates about Chiyas Mesim writes to Eretz Yisrael and unpaid debts with Mitzrayim. In one incident, Egyptians came to Alexander, demanding the Jews return the gold and silver they borrowed when leaving Mitzrayim. Gavias responded that they owe the Jews wages for 600,000 men for 430 years of labor at Mitzrayim, and they fled, abandoning fully grown fields in a year of Shemitah. So the Mitzrim who ran out of the exit from the great hunchback rabbi's house, not wanting to pay their debt to the Jews from all the years of slavery, passed a newborn boy at the door whose Yetzirah just began to exert control over him, which reminds us, the Gemara brings discussions between Rebbe and Antoninus regarding when a person receives a neshama and a Yetzirah. Antoninus asked Rebbe, Me'emas HaYetzirah Shoah Ba'adam, when does the Yetzirah begin to exert control over a person? Mishas Yetzirah or Mishas Yetziah, from the time of the embryo's formation or from the time of birth? Rebbe answered, Mishas Yetzirah, but Antoninus objected that if so, Bo'ot B'me'imo V'yotze, the fetus would kick against its mother's womb and leave prematurely. Rebbe later declared that Antoninus taught him that the Yetzirah is shoet on a person from birth and found support in the pasuk of Pesach Chatas Roveitz, sin crouches at the door. So the Mitzvah who ran out the exit from the great hunchback rabbi's house, not wanting to pay their debt to the Jews from all their years of slavery, passed a newborn boy at the door whose Yetzirah just began to exert control over him, and were followed by people leaping and singing for joy who came back to life and were healed, which reminds us, the Gemara brings descriptions of life l'asinu levo based on discrepancies between psukim. Reish Lakish quoted one pasuk implying that crippled people will come back to life with their deficiencies, while another pasuk says the lame will leap and the mute will sing. He explained that people will rise with their defects and then be healed. Ula quoted, Bila Hamavis Lenetzach, he will conceal death forever, indicating no one will die. Yet another pasuk implies that although people live long, they will die. He answers that death will still exist for idolaters who will exist then to tend to Klal Yisrael's physical needs. So once again, the Mitzvah who ran out the exit from the great hunchback rabbi's house, not wanting to pay their debt to the Jews from all their years of slavery, passed a newborn boy at the door whose Yetzirah just began to exert control over him, and were followed by people leaping and singing for joy who came back to life and were healed. All right, so now it's time for our four blot back Chazara. Daf Pei Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The Zaken Mamre and the Basin walk together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers. Gold Pez candy dispensers? That must be on Daf Pei Zayin. The Zaken Mamre and the Basin walk together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers, heading up to the base of Mikdash, which reminds us the Zaken Mamre and his disputants go up to the base of Mikdash, which is higher than all of Eretz Yisrael. So the Zaken Mamre and the Basin walk together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers, heading up to the Beis HaMikdash, after the Zakim Mamre ruled on something written in the Torah, whose words are like gold and explained by the Rabban, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what kind of halachic disagreement qualifies for a Zakim Mamre. There are three opinions given. Rabbi Yehuda says, the dispute must be al davar she'ikru medivrei Torah uperusha medivrei sofrim, about a matter whose fundamental element is written in the Torah, and its interpretation is taught by the sofrim, meaning the early sages. So the Zakim Mamre and the Basin walk together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers, heading up to the Beis HaMikdash. After the Zakim Mamre ruled on something written in the Torah, whose words are like gold, and explained by the Rabban, and stated that a ruling given by two judges on a piece of gold used for Kedushin was invalid, which reminds the Gemara discusses Karis violations resulting from a dispute about Dinim Amonos. This refers to the Machlokes about a monetary ruling issued by two judges, which Shmuel said is valid and Rabbi Avo said is not valid. Thus, if someone is awarded money by a two-person court and Sanhedrin ruled like Shmuel and the Zakim Mamre ruled like Rabbi Avo, he would consider the awarded money stolen by the victorious party. If he then marries a woman with that money, the Zakim Mamre would consider the Kedushin invalid and permit her to marry others, resulting in a Karis violation. So the Zakim Mamre and the Basin walk together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers, heading up to the Beis HaMikdash. After the Zakim Mamre ruled on something written in the Torah, whose words are like gold, and explained by the Rabbanan, and stated that a ruling given by two judges on a piece of gold used for Kedushin was invalid. Daf Peches. So the Simmer Daf Peches is a pach, a garbage can, or a dustbin. So here goes. By the garbage can, that must run on Daf Peches, pach. By the garbage can filled with a thrown-out case of a Zakim Mamre, because his ruling was Mefia Shmua, and so was the Sanhedrin's, which reminds us, Rav Kahana says that if a Zakim Mamre quotes his ruling Mefia Shmua from a tradition he heard from his teachers, and the Sanhedrin quote their ruling Mefia Shmua as well, or he said, Kachu Be'enai, this is what appears to me in my eyes, meaning his personal decision, and the Sanhedrin's ruling is also from their reasoning, and certainly if his ruling is Mefia Shmua, and theirs is from their reasoning, he is not killed as a Zakim Mamre unless his ruling is based on his own reasoning, and ignores the Sanhedrin's ruling, which is Mefia Shmua. Belazir disagrees and says that even if the Zakim Mamre's ruling was Mefia Shmua and Sanhedrin's was based on their own reasoning, he is killed. Kedei shlo yirbu machlokas b'Yisrael, so that machlokasim should not proliferate in Yisrael. So by the garbage can filled with a thrown-out case of a Zakim Mamre, because his ruling was Mefia Shmua, and so was the Sanhedrin's, were two groups of students who were getting into a machlokas, again, which reminds us, Rav Yossi teaches in a brisa that in earlier times, halachic disputes were rare in Yisrael. If need be, unresolved disputes ended up before the Sanhedrin in the Lishkas HaGazis. However, when the students of Shammai and Hillel increased, they did not fully attend to their teachers, leading to a proliferation of disputes. As a result, Machlokas increased in Israel, and the Torah appeared as if it had become two Torahs. So by the garbage can filled with a thrown-out case of a Zakim Mamre, because his ruling was Mefia Shmua, and so was the Sanhedrin's, were two groups of students who were getting into a Machlokas, again, whether a Zakim Mamre could be chayav for being mosif on other mitzvahs, like he would be chayav for saying there are five compartments to tefillin, which reminds us, the next mission states there's a greater chumrah in the Sofrim's words compared to the Torah's words regarding a Zakim Mamre. If a Zakim Mamre says there's no mitzvah of tefillin, he's pater because it's obviously false and not a legitimate ruling. However, if he says the tefillin shalosh require five compartments instead of four, hosif al divrei Sofrim, to add on to the Sofrim's words, he's chayev. Rav Hoshea says that a Zakim Mamre is only chayev for disputing a matter whose fundamental element is written in the Torah. Its interpretation is taught by the Sofrim, v'yeshbo l'hosif, and it's possible to add on to its required elements, v'im hosif goreya, and if one adds to the number, he detracts from the mitzvah's fulfillment. This is only possible with tefillin, where adding a fifth compartment violates bal tosif, you shall not add, to any mitzvah, and invalidates the tefillin. Daf pei tes, so the simmer daf pei tes is a pot, and we use a cholent pot. So here goes. The men eating cholent out of a large pot. Pot? That must be on daf. Pay test, chalon pot. The men eating chalon out of a large pot who are chayv misibidei shamayim for not listening to the Navi who prophesied that they should not eat it, which reminds us, the Gemara brings six types of nevuah transgressions, three killed with chenek and three misibidei shamayim. One who disregards the Navi's words is chayv misibidei shamayim. So the men eating chalon out of a large pot who were chayv misibidei shamayim for not listening to the Navi who prophesied that they should not eat it, even though he was an established Navi, which reminds us, the Gemara asks how one knows to trust a Navi to be chayv for disregarding him. Typically, it's because the Navi gave an os, a sign, but if he's an established Navi, no sign is needed, which is why Yitzchak believed Avram to allow Avram to shecht him. So the men eating chalon out of a large pot were chayv misibidei shamayim for not listening to the Navi who prophesied that they should not eat it, even though he was an established Navi, were surprised to hear someone accuse a Navi of serving everyone chalon but not bringing a single carbon to Hashem, which reminds us Avram Avinu's test of Akedas Yitzchak was Achar HaDvarim HaEila, after the Satan pointed out that Avram did not bring any carbon to Kosh Baruch Hu to celebrate the weaning of Yitzchak while making a big feast. Akosh Baruch Hu said, if I tell him, sacrifice your son before me, he would immediately sacrifice him. Then Akosh Baruch Hu gave Avram this test. Dav Tzadi. So the Zimmer Dav Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. The man who joyously put tzedakah in the tzedakah box, that must be a Dav Tzadi, tzedakah box. The man who joyously put tzedakah in the tzedakah box instead of obeying a Navi who made the sun stand still and said he should serve Avodah Zarah, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Behold, im yomelcha Navi avra divrei Torah, in all areas, if a Navi tells you transgress this Torah law temporarily, Shmuel will obey him like the incident of Eliyahu and Har Carmel, except regarding Avodah Zarah. For even if he makes the sun stand still in the middle of the sky, I'll teach Shmuel, do not obey him to serve idolatry. So the man who joyously put tzedakah in the tzedakah box, instead of obeying a Navi who made the sun stand still and said he should serve Avodah Zarah, knew he would eventually get a chelek in Olam Haba, unlike his neighbor who denied Tchiyas HaMeisim, which reminds us, the 11th parak begins, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, all of Yisrael have a share in the world to come based on a pasuk. The Mishnah lists the exceptions. Omer Ein Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah, one who says there's no source for the resurrection of the dead in the Torah, even if he personally believes in it, since he has no basis for it. Or that Torah is not transmitted from Shemaim, or not Bikoros, which the Gemara will define, other opinions are brought. So the man who joyously put tzedakah in the tzedakah box instead of obeying a Navi who made the sun stand still and said he should serve Avodah Zarah knew he would eventually get a chelek in Olam Haba, unlike his neighbor who denied Tchiyas HaMeisim and kept some Trumas Maaseh on top of another pushka to give to Aharon HaKohen when that great day arrives, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Menayna Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah? From where do we find a source for Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah? Numerous sources are presented on this daf. The Torah said to give Trumas Maaseh to Aaron the Kohen, but Aaron never entered Eretz Yisrael to receive Truma. El Melamed Sha'asil Chayos, rather it teaches that he's destined to live again, and Kol Yisrael will give him Truma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu established a bris with the Avos to give the land of Canaan, Lahem, to them, not Lachem, to you, proving they will come back to life. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you learn that Avram's test of Akedas Yitzchak was after the Satan presented a taina against him to Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's on Dav. Pay task. Good. Number two, which stuff do you learn that one should not listen to a Navi who says to worship Avodah Zarah even if he makes the sun stand still? That's on Dav. Tzadik. Good. Number three, which stuff do you learn that Mitzvim ran away after Gevi'ah ben Pasisa says they owe money for 600,000 Avadim working for 430 years? That's on Daf. Tzadiyav. Good. Number four, which stuff do you discuss when one is chayiv for kidnapping a Jew? That's on Daf. Pehei. Good. Number five, which stuff do you learn that one of the sources for Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah is that we're told that we will give Trumas Meiser to Aharon HaKohen? That's on Daf. Tzadi. Good. Number six, which stuff about six types of nevuah transgressions, one of them being that those who do not listen to a Navi's words are chayv misabidei shemaim? That's on Daf. Pay test. Good. Number seven, which stuff they learn that every Jew has a chelek in Olam Haba? That's on Daf. Tzadi. Good. Number eight, which stuff we have a discussion when the neshama and yetzirah enter a person, and Antoninus tell Rebbe that the yetzirah enters a baby at the time of birth? That's on Daf. Tzadiyav. Good. Number nine, which stuff to discuss what the din is if the Zakan Mamre's din is Mefia Shmua, and so is the Sanhedrin's? That's on Dav. Peches. Good. And number 10, which stuff to do when the Reish Lakish taught that Lassinu Lavo people come back to life with their deficiencies and then be healed? That's on Dav. Tzadiyav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody. Ram Golder from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.